Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Ralph Pignataro, General Counsel at Logistics Plus. Ralph, thanks so much for joining us. Let's jump right into it. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to join Logistics Plus a little less than a year ago?
Sure thing. Well, I'm born and raised in Buffalo, New York, actually a suburb a little south of Buffalo. Went to school up here, went to college over in Ithaca, New York, and started practicing law out of the University of Buffalo with a local firm in Buffalo called Hodgson Russ, then went in-house to a medical device manufacturer local to the area, and thought I had landed a new and exciting gig at a local unicorn startup company here in Buffalo. And then I think as 2020 has been both unforgiving and surprising to everyone, ended up getting furloughed, and within the next 3 weeks, through numerous, a couple acquaintances of mine and friends, had some connections with Jim, and the rest is history.
Ralph, I've got to imagine that working for LP really has been fascinating.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct, and it's funny. I sort of knew it was, and it was a bit of foreshadowing, because my initial interview with Jim Berlin was literally off the Dunkirk, New York exit of the 90, and in a parking lot of a Bob Evans that wasn't open because of the pandemic. So, you know, if that wasn't a hint that things were going to be interesting and always changing and evolving, and I don't know what is.
Ralph, can you describe your role with LP and any major projects or initiatives you might be working on?
Sure. So, obviously I'm in the legal department. As an in-house lawyer, I'd like to say, you know, I'm a business lawyer, or a lawyer with at least a business mindset, at least I hope to be. And what, you know, my role, and there's another attorney here at Logistics Plus, Tyler Antolik, who's just a terrific member of the team. Our role as the legal department is not to stand in the way. It's not to provide the problems, which, you know, most people think of lawyers as either causing or being the source of, but rather, you know, finding solutions, finding a way for our business colleagues and associates to do things, giving them the flexibility to do so while also, you know, being on the right side of the law. So that's sort of how I see my role and the legal department's role in general. Obviously, there's some other sort of mundane things that we do on a day-to-day basis in terms of corporate governance and registrations and all those fun things that, you know, sort of gets schlopped up into the messy legal stuff that we do. But, you know, in terms of major projects or initiatives, one of the things we're doing right now, and it's a combination of people throughout the organization from finance, accounting, IT, customer and vendor setup, is we're trying to standardize the customer and vendor setup process. And also that with that has grown organically into putting out all sort of standard form terms and conditions for the various services we offer. So one of the things I think, you know, has really impressed me about LP early on was that we sort of always put the customer first, always find a way, always make it easy as possible for the customer, be flexible, be nimble, be able to innovate and that type of thing. And trying to take that approach to the setup process when it comes to doing business with us. So, you know, maybe a customer wants to fill out a paper application because that's what they prefer. No problem. You know, while at the same time we're trying to develop a quick and easy system that they can go on our website, type in all their information, click a couple buttons, and they're up and running and on their way. So that's where we're trying to get to. I know it sounds sort of like, well, why aren't you there yet? Well, there's a lot of moving pieces and legal terms and conditions and things like that that we're just trying to make sure we cover before we sort of go live.
Really, that mindset of making things easier for your customer is ingrained here at LP, right?
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, it's almost like it's one of the things, and Jim has said this before, and Yuri, our COO, they both say, but it's almost like common sense, you know? But I think in the rigors of day-to-day business, a lot of companies forget that, right? Like, I think we can all think of an example where, you know, we have to call a company or chat with a company or email some customer support thing because we have a question or, you know, something we bought is broken, right? And like, you know, they have a list of 10 boxes in front of them and you have to do all 10. And, you know, they're not flexible enough to say, oh, well, you know what, no problem, we'll send you this shipping box. Or, you know what, since you don't have a UPS near you, we'll just send you a FedEx label or something. I'm just making up examples off the top of my head, right? But when you do encounter that company that says, hey, no big deal, here's what we'll do, make it easy on you, do this, do that, and you sort of step back and you're like, wow, that was fun. Not fun, but maybe that was easy. I'm surprised they did that. And so I think that's sort of what, you know, I've seen that mindset in our operations folks. I've seen it play out between our operations folks and customers. And so I know that's a priority and we can't lose sight of that in the legal department because we don't want to become that stiff, rigid, problem-causing legal department. But we gotta sort of work within that LP priority.
Ralph, what are some of the main legal challenges facing LP and other companies in the logistics industry today?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the legal challenges, if you will, are ever evolving and ever changing. So I would say that's like probably the biggest challenge. Not trying to dodge the question, but you know, liability, some of those sort of mundane legal topics and issues that everyone looks to the legal guys for. That's always, you know, that's always the tricky thing, at least for me, because, you know, on both sides of the table, you know, in my role trying to protect LP and in, you know, our customer's role, it's all about risk shifting or risk avoidance and liability shifting, so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you know, what's written down in the contract, I always say, versus what plays out in practice, a lot of times is totally different, for better or for worse. So, and I bring up liability because that's just an example. A lot of times, you know, when a customer runs into a problem or goods are damaged or so on and so forth, they come to LP. No one might look at the contract, and we figure out a reasonable and just business solution instead of you know, pointing to the contract and saying, well, this is the way to do it. And the reason I say that's a challenge is because us legal guys like to point to the contract and say this is the way to do it, where a lot of times some of the operations folks are just, you know, we just go do something or we come up with what is likely a more practical solution. And then we're sort of, the legal guys are sitting there like, well, man, why did we negotiate this so hard?
Can you describe some specific legal challenges LP must abide by when it comes to global shipping?
Yeah, so one of a good example for me would be TSA regulations and what comes, you know, in and out of our warehouses by way of what's called indirect air cargo. So when we have or are touching goods that will end up on either a cargo only or sometimes a passenger aircraft. The amount of regulations, both for your employees, for your warehouses, and even for some of your employees that don't touch freight in warehouses, we've learned over the past several months as we've updated some of our policies how many different levels of requirements, certifications are required, are necessary just to be able to play in that space, if that makes sense.
That totally makes sense. Are there legal issues facing logistics companies amid the pandemic when it comes to warehousing and fulfillment?
Yeah, so that's actually interesting. I mean, I haven't been at LP too long, obviously joined sort of mid-pandemic back in May. And I've already seen, and I know you asked about legal issues, but I just wanted to give this bit of a background here. The warehousing and fulfillment industry, or demand, I should say, has really gone through the roof. And my own personal opinion on that is that I think really it's because of the pandemic, because there was, you know, pre-pandemic, there was always this, quote, just-in-time supply chain model. But then, you know, right after the pandemic, you know, the easy example is toilet paper, right? When everyone went out, you couldn't buy toilet paper at any store. But now, you know, different suppliers and manufacturers are holding more inventory, which is driving the need for more warehousing. So I've seen that throughout the pandemic as a driving piece to LP's business so far. And in terms of legal issues, you know, really the pandemic itself hasn't really necessarily changed the laws or regulations, as you will, that pertain to warehouses. And in many instances, it might have even made them more lenient. I know, you know, for a long time, and at least in importing and exporting certain PPE items, you know, if you were going to import or export some PPE items to different countries, there would typically be a tax on either your income in that country or the importation into those countries. And we worked on a deal earlier in the summer where, you know, so long as the income you were deriving in this certain country was with respect to PPE, they weren't subjecting you to the tax. So while that's an example of things becoming more lenient and an easing of sort of a restriction or regulation, I think the challenge there is at the same time you have to keep up with all of these sort of different little changes that are happening so quickly.
Can you describe regulation issues that exist today when it comes to warehousing and fulfillment?
Sure. One that's specific and top of mind for me would be, I say liquor licensing, but I guess the broader term is alcoholic beverage sort of licensing and regulations. I've had some experience in a prior role of mine doing liquor licensing in Buffalo, New York. And so specifically dealing with, and the reason I say that there are issues here is because there's 50 different ways of licensing throughout the country. And there's 50 different ways because there's 50 different states and every state does it differently. You know, there's some similarities, but there's a lot more differences. So we at LP have different warehouses throughout the country. We were able to get, you know, public warehouse licensing for alcoholic beverages in Illinois in what was like literally a 2-day process. Whereas, you know, we're dealing with the Alcoholic Beverage Control Department out in California, and it's a lot more involved. So, you know, and each step of the way, those different regulations, you know, there's no easy handbook on it. You just sort of have to jump in and figure out every different form and every different regulation there is in the state that you're trying to get licensed in.
Ralph, I understand late last year, after years of operating its website as logisticsplus.net, LP was able to acquire the logisticsplus.com domain name from an individual that was essentially cyber squatting on this property and more or less holding it for ransom. Can you describe LP's legal approach to this challenge, and how were you able to successfully acquire the domain rights?
Sure. So, yeah, that's right. You know, one of the things that struck me when I came here, not I wouldn't say odd, but it just sort of struck me, and I think Scott Frederick and I talked about it on one of my first days at the company, was that we had the .net URL, and we didn't use .com, and, you know, I looked into it, and Scott had given me the background, so on and so forth. And so, yeah, you're right. There was an individual who was essentially cyber squatting on it. And it came up, ironically, when I was introduced to our outside IP counsel, an individual named Mike Lazara, who's just an outstanding guy. He maintains a lot of our trademark, patent right type of things. And, you know, I just sort of said to him, hey, you know, we have this issue with this URL. I said, I don't have a lot of experience in how you go about getting this. And he explained to me that everyone, you know, in the entire internet universe that signs up for a URL agrees to, and you might have seen this acronym before, but the ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, terms and conditions. And he said, there's a mechanism under these terms and conditions for arbitration, to file an arbitration claim if you have a trademark on a certain name and somebody is violating that trademark, or there is some confusion, and then there are some other elements that I won't get into. They're pretty detailed, but, you know, one of them is bad faith and blah, blah, blah. So we started talking about it, and then I went back to Scott, and we started doing some research, and Scott and some of his team has ways that you can go back on the internet and check, well, what did he do? He being the prior owner, what did he do on this date? And he was listing it for sale and so on and so forth. And we sort of just gathered some evidence. Jim gave us the go-ahead to say, hey, well, you know, if we have a shot at getting this, let's try. Let's not go over the top, but if you think we have a shot, let's go for it. And we did. And so we filed an arbitration claim. The owner at that time of the URL had the opportunity to submit a response. They did. There was a three-person arbitration panel appointed, and luckily for us, they as you know, I wouldn't say luckily, but you know, we were pretty confident. But they saw it our way and agreed with our position and arguments in our arbitration filing. And literally, the only recourse that the existing owner has is to file an appeal in federal court, which is an expensive endeavor, which they didn't do. And so within, like, I think it was 10 days, the URL was just transferred over to us, and here we sit.
It has been well publicized and discussed on previous Business Spotlight interviews that LP is known as a great place to work. As a newer member to the team, can you tell us your first impression of the LP culture and how you think Jim Berlin has created such a great workplace?
Yeah, you know, my first impression was this is a flat organization where, you know, no matter if you're the general counsel or, you know, the chief financial officer, whatever you want to call yourself, you know, everyone's treated the same, and everyone's expected to roll up their sleeves and work when work needs to get done. And I saw that a couple weeks into the job, where we had the entire company unpacking and repacking some PPE supplies for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania because stuff wasn't shipped correctly and didn't meet the LP standard, if you will. And so that was like my initial impression, which I like, because that's sort of the type of person I am as well. You know, it showed me it's someplace where everyone, when it comes down to it, can roll up their sleeves and do the work, if you will. And then, you know, why do I think, what has Jim done to create such a great workplace? Well, I think one of the things is it's a very open and flexible sort of place to work. And when I say that, what I've seen is that if you're working in a certain faction of our business, if you're doing freight brokering and you see something that can be changed or different, or you have an idea that we could maybe pivot our business or do this differently or do that differently, everyone's encouraged to speak up, to say those things, to bring it up to Yuri, our COO, or to Jim. And, there's not a lot of places that can say that people feel free enough or confident enough to go up and say, hey, we should be really be doing this differently. It doesn't work this way. So that to me is one of the things that has made it such a great place to work.
Ralph, we know that Jim is not a crystal ball guy and that LP's only real strategy is continued growth. But are you seeing any noteworthy trends on the legal horizon and how those trends might impact how LP does business?
I point back to, at least right now, what comes to mind for me is the pandemic and the legal trends there. I don't mean to repeat myself, but it really is true that, we have different regulations and things that are changing by day, tariffs that are changing, by day with a new executive administration at the federal level. And so it's really going to be key for us to keep up with all of the constant change in regulation that comes with the new administration and that comes with the pandemic, and sort of take advantage of the easing of restrictions in some aspects, but also keep up with it all and educate ourselves and be knowledgeable about it so that we become experts as soon as we can, so that we can advise our customers and serve our customers, in not only the right way, but the most efficient way and the legal way.
Ralph, as a Buffalo native myself, it's my understanding that you're a huge Bills fan and that you attended the Bills-Chiefs championship football game in Kansas City earlier this month. I have to ask, how was that experience?
It was fun, I must say. It was fun, but I guess it was sort of like that first big hill on a roller coaster, where it's up, 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 up for like 2 days, and then the game starts and it just all comes crashing down. That's sort of how we felt. We had a group of a family meet us out there. Jim Berlin actually went out there too. We had some fun on Saturday in Kansas City. I'd never been there before. And everything we basically did was outside, given the pandemic and everything. Did a little tailgating outside. Everyone was feeling good, was psyched. There were a lot of Bills fans there. And, I've answered the question the same way to other people that, hey, how was Kansas City? I said, it was great until about 10 minutes into the first quarter. And then it was sort of all downhill from there.
Ralph, thanks so much for your time. Is there anything that we missed today that you'd like to add regarding yourself, LP, or the industry?
No, especially not about myself, but I would say that, LP is to me, if I were a customer, LP would be a diamond in the rough, so to speak. A lot of our customers, I think, or I should say a lot of our new customers, end up doing business with us. And I hear this from the operations folks. I see it on emails and different things. And they say, oh man, I wish I really would have found out about LP sooner, because love working with you guys. It's so easy. It's so flexible. You take everything, you just run with it and you get it done. And I guess that's one thing that makes me proud, even though I'm not part of that, business operations team on a day-to-day basis. But yeah, I guess that's, that's what LP stands for, and that's, you know, right along with the slogan, which is passion for excellence. So.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSC. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.